Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it is to, again, be able to be here and hear it live and be able to sing with our church family and congregational songs, be ministered to through music, and then to be able to preach to faces instead of empty pews. And so that's always a blessing. John chapter 21. We've been on Wednesday nights, we've been studying the life of the Apostle Peter, from salvation. And now, this time in Peter's life, he's being discipled by the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he's being discipled by Jesus, we have it written down so that we can likewise learn as Jesus discipled Peter, and we can be discipled by the words of the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Now, we'll find that we get into the book of Acts, and Peter's role changes, and now he's one of the leading apostles during the apostolic age and has a lot of responsibilities, but Jesus prepared him for that. And so we've been studying the discipleship of John by Jesus. Last week, Peter learned two very important things after he had repented of denying Jesus. If you remember, he denied him, and then the cock crew, and he realized what happened. There was great sorrow in Peter, and Peter repented of what he had done, and after he had denied the Lord three times. And one of the worst nights ever was followed by one of the best mornings ever when he realized that Jesus had resurrected. He learned two things. First of all, Jesus was alive. Can I tell you that's something that we need to continue to be aware of? We serve a risen Savior. He is very much alive and well. He's ever living to make intercession for us, as the Bible says. That is something that will bring us much peace and joy, no matter what you're going through, is that you still serve a risen Savior. He's alive. And that will not change. And the second thing that Peter studied, that Peter learned, that we studied last Wednesday night, was that Peter was still one of Jesus' disciples. Even though he failed him and he sinned in denying the Lord, but as he repented, he realized that he couldn't lose salvation. He couldn't lose the discipleship position that Jesus had been preparing him for, but that he was still one of Jesus's disciples. And that would, no doubt, make a huge difference in the future, Peter's future, after he would realize that Jesus was alive. Well, John chapter 21 is the next event in Peter's life. Now, there was a lot of things taking place when Jesus met with them and revealed himself to Peter and the other apostles. Thomas wasn't there to start with, but then the second time, Thomas was there and got all that worked out. And so this is in between the second and the third time that Jesus would meet with the apostles, okay? And so John chapter 21, if you'll go ahead and stand with me, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 14. All right, Wednesday night. I know everybody has been facing a lot of just weird things. And it just doesn't seem like this is all real, I know, and yet it is. And we're adjusting, praise the Lord for that. But we're in church tonight and looking forward to being able to preach what I believe that God has for us as we're studying the life of the Apostle Peter. And so you're here, that's half the battle, as you hear me say quite often. The other half is to make sure that you receive all that God has for you in being in services tonight. And so that's not only those in the auditorium, but that also goes for each one of you that are watching live stream. You're in your home, and it's going to be a little more comfortable possibly there. And so make sure that you stay plugged in and receiving what God has for you through the services here tonight. Okay? John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you once again, Father, for the many blessings you bestow upon us. Thank you for your hand upon us during these struggling times. Thank you for the opportunity to assemble ourselves together and to be able to open up our hearts and our minds to the preaching and the teaching of thy word. And I just pray, God, tonight that you would empower the teaching once again. And I pray that you would just help each one to receive that which they have need of tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So here we find that Peter goes fishing. A lot of things have taken place, and here we find that this again, is something that the Lord had used in Peter's life during this discipleship process. He had used fishing several times, something that Peter would relate to. I believe when we're being discipled, God will use different things, but mainly it's things that you can relate to personally to be able to learn lessons that God has for us to learn. Peter, because he had, before he met the Lord, he had determined fishing was going to be a career. He was going to follow his father's lead, and he and his brothers, they were going to be fishermen, and that's how they were going to earn their living. That's the career that they had chosen. And so that was something that Jesus knew very well, that Peter was a fisherman. And matter of fact, in the book of Luke in chapter 3, let me just read that to you. You might write it down, but Peter was actually fishing. He was in his career. He was looking to be a career fisherman when Jesus came to him. In Luke in chapter 5 and verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Now Jesus went along the shoreline. He found a ship that he was going to preach from, and it wasn't just a coincidence that he chose Simon's fishing boat, because he knew that Simon would be there and he would use this in Simon's life to call him into the ministry. And he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land and sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now Peter had been out there fishing all night, hadn't caught anything, and now he's tired, and Jesus tells him to go back out and let down the nets that he had just cleaned, and he would catch more than what the nets would even be able to hold. And he did it. And he found that Jesus had filled the nets. And then we find in verse 10, the Bible says, once he came back and he'd seen what had taken place, and he said, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Peter, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. So this is the first time that Jesus would use this idea of fishing in Peter's life. And he used that in a way to say, Peter, now that you've received me and you know who I am, I'm going to use you to be a fisher of men. Amen. So this was, if you will, Peter's call. Peter's call to ministry was impacted by fishing. There again, over in the book of Matthew in chapter 17, and later on, Jesus was approached, and some had asked if he would pay taxes. And so we find here that Jesus, knowing Peter's fishing abilities, he tells Peter in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 27, it says here, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that the first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That take and give unto them for me and thee. So another opportunity, Jesus had Peter go fishing. And as he went fishing, he was only to catch one fish at this time. But as he caught that fish on with just nothing but a hook, he opened up the fish's mouth as Jesus told him to, and there was just the right amount of money to pay the taxes. What an impact it had on Peter's life. And it was all through this understanding of fishing. Well, now we find here, after Jesus had met with them twice, according to chapter 21 of John and verse 14, now this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. If you've seen that, it's the third time. So the first time he told them ahead of time when he would resurrect where to meet him. And then Mary, as she went to the tomb, the angel said, tell them to go to the place where Jesus already told them after he resurrected, he would meet them. So they would go there to that first place and he would meet them there. No doubt we find that he would instruct them to go somewhere else. And the second time he would meet with them, and he would meet with them, at least all of them, Thomas would be there. So that was the second time. So we find that where they're at now, if he had told them where to go the first and second time, he would have told them where to go on the third time. So in between the second and the third appearance of Jesus meeting with the apostles, that's important, there was a lot going on. Most Bible scholars that have studied this and put it all together say that they had more than likely been there possibly 2 weeks waiting on Jesus to appear the third time. Now again, we find that the Bible tells us much that was going on, even in John chapter 20, right before this, in verse 30 and verse 31, and many other signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe in that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. So in this first and second time, Jesus had done a lot of different things, and they witness this resurrected Jesus continuing to reveal to them that he was the Messiah. I don't think there was a doubt in any of their minds after meeting with him twice that Jesus was who he said he was. This third time here was not Peter doubting whether Jesus was the only begotten Son of God. It was none of them were doubting whether Jesus was the Messiah. He had already proven that to them. Matter of fact, and then we find over in the book of Acts in chapter 1, it tells us some other things here. It says in verse 3, to whom also he showed himself alive, talking about Jesus and the apostles. He showed himself alive after this passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So we find that before it would be over, it would be 40 days in which Jesus, a resurrected Jesus, would have spent ministering and doing things before he would ascend up into his Father's right hand. So this, at this particular time, now you read this and you study this right here, they had been waiting for the third time. Ultimately, Peter would choose to go a-fishing while he was waiting on Jesus. I loved something I read here, and in reading this in one of the commentaries, it said, if God places you in a waiting room, be patient. Tests are being run. Sometimes we go to the ER, we go to a doctor's office, and they have us waiting here, and we get impatient, and we're having to stay there because they're waiting for the test results to come back so they can come in and help us and tell us what's going on. Was this the case? Were they supposed to wait there until Jesus came to them? And so because of that, many believe that Peter was out of the will of God by going fishing. To wait does not necessarily mean do nothing. Life goes on. And as life goes on, I believe when we are waiting on God for instructions, we don't need to make life-changing decisions. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to still do things that need to be done. I do not believe that Peter was outside the will of God by going fishing. I believe that God would use this once again to give Peter a final lesson. See, I'm not criticizing Peter for going fishing. I'm understanding that God had used this idea of fishing in Peter's life more than once. And he had planned on using it again. Now, if you read here in chapter 21... the Bible says in verse 1 and 2, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. Okay, he's going to show himself there at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. So as John's writing this, he said, this is what happened. This is how it come about that Jesus would meet them at the Sea of Tiberias, where they had went fishing. Then were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael and Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other disciples. They were together fishing. Jesus had planned on meeting them at the sea after their fishing experience. I believe Peter wanted them to go fishing out of necessity. It had been a couple weeks. They needed food. And the only way that Peter knew how to feed the other apostles, something that all of them were very familiar with, at least these that went fishing with Peter, they had all had been fishermen and before they were called to follow the Lord and become fishers of men. So, Peter never repented of going fishing. Now, if we look at that, that's important because when Peter would make a mistake and he would do something that was outside the God's will, he would come under conviction. And he would go to Jesus and he would have this sorrow of repentance. Peter never repented about going fishing. Whenever Peter would have done something wrong and he would have said something or did something against the will of God, Jesus would have rebuked him. How many times did Jesus rebuke Peter? He never rebuked him for going fishing. No. He actually rewarded him. Because they would eventually catch a great multitude of fishes. Can I tell you that Jesus never rewards us for sin? He never condones it. He never rewards us because of sin. If we sin, the only way that we're going to get forgiveness is confessing and forsaking that sin. That happened to Peter several times, but not here. So it was not Peter outside of God's will. It was Peter willing to go back to something that he knew to be able to provide something that they needed. And so he goes fishing. We find that they fished all night and never caught anything. Now, if you're fishing just for the fun of it, just for the sport of it, if they're not biting, you're not going to stay out there all night. If you go fishing for recreation, you go fishing for whatever, no, you're going fishing. They were out there fishing because they had need of supplies. They had need of something to eat. Now, that's important because you'll see how that plays in as we continue this study, this passage of Scripture right here. So don't lose sight of that. Peter was not out of the will of God by going fishing. God intended Peter to go fishing. He intended Peter to go fishing because they did not have food. And even though they were waiting on Jesus, they might not have been ready to make a life-changing decision, but they were going to do what needed to be done while they were waiting on Jesus. This idea, this mentality of just kick back, watch television, and just wait for the paycheck to come through the mail. I don't think that helps anybody. Can I tell you that God will not do for us that which He's already given us the ability to do for ourselves? If you're praying for God to do something in your life, you had better make sure that you're doing everything that you can do for that to come to pass. We should not look to the government. We should not look to anyone else to just take care of us while we just sit back and do nothing. That's not the way to live life. Peter and them were there waiting on Jesus, but waiting does not mean that you don't do anything. You don't make life-changing decisions without you hear from the Lord and do what He has for you to do. But when it comes to taking care of what needs to be done, we need to be doing all that we can do. Using whatever talents. God used auto body and framework in my life. I can relate to Peter. Peter was looking to a career in fishing. I was looking to a career. I actually had that in auto body and frame. I was certified as a frame technician. to be able to make the highest money that can be made in the car body repair is the framework. That takes more skill, takes more education. I had already passed that. I was certified to be able to pull the unibody and pull frames. That was my career. That's what I was looking to do. I enjoyed it. There was nothing that I enjoyed more than seeing a car that had been wrecked or even come close to being totaled, and they bring it into my stall, and I was able to be able to use the frame equipment and all the body equipment and bring it back to life and make it look new, as if you couldn't even tell that it had been wrecked. And that just something that I enjoyed doing. That was something that my career. And then I find that God calls me into ministry and I have to turn away from that. And yet when I understood it was God's will for my life, I wanted God's will for my life. And it was, I never gave up any. I didn't make sacrifices. I never did look at that as a sacrifice. Even though it was a very low percentage of the money I was making in body work when I went into ministry. But we've never wanted for anything. God has so taken care of us. Once I knew it was His will for my life. Now, when I changed ministries and then we started the Lighthouse Baptist Church, can I tell you that God brought back and used in my life my auto body skills. And while I was part of part-time pastor and part-time this and part-time, then God used that. And He used that skill in my life to be able to supplement my income. We would not have been able to take care of the family and have what we needed if I would have just sit back and say, God, no, God, you called me to pastor. I've given up any skills I had before, and I'm just looking to you to take care of me. Now, God would have taken care of me, but that which He gave me to take care of myself, He expected me to use. I didn't just sit back and expected God to just open the windows of heaven and bring it down upon me. No, I had to make sure I was doing everything I can do. Can I tell you, you need to make sure that you're doing everything you can do. If you have to work two jobs or three jobs or even four jobs temporarily to get through a struggle or whatever it might be willing to do whatever it is that God would have you to do. That's not lacking confidence and lacking trust in God. It's a willingness to use what God has used in your life, whatever that might have been, whether it's mechanics or whether it's doing flowers or whether it's whatever it might be, whatever you can do, be willing to do whatever you can do, and God will do what you can't do. What a lesson. So Peter said, no, I'm going fishing. We got to get some food. If Jesus was here, yeah, He would provide, but He's not here. We don't know why it's been 2 weeks. But He doesn't want us just to sit here and starve. I go fishing. Anybody want to come? They all had it. These were those that had a background in fishing. And they all were willing to say, I'm in. I'm in. Yeah. What a lesson to learn. Be willing to do what needs to be done, but don't trust in your ability. Don't trust in your ability. Use your ability, but don't put your faith and trust in your ability. You don't have to do that. Why? Because you're a disciple. You don't have to do that because you're not your own anymore. I was willing to go back and paint and do all the things that I needed to do, but I wasn't going back to trust in that as my career, and the only way that I was able to make money. I wasn't doing that. I still trusted in God. I just used what God had given me the skills to use. Wow. Yeah. That's what Peter was doing. That's just what Peter was doing. And then, once he's out there doing it, Jesus goes to Peter. Jesus goes to where Peter's at. at the Sea of Tiberias, where they had been out all night fishing, and they caught nothing because God didn't want them to catch anything. Because Peter was to realize some things here. The first thing that Peter would realize in verse 3, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. And they say unto him, we also go with thee. Peter was to realize that his decisions would impact others. He was the one they were looking to. Even though all of them, this is 7 out of the 11. It names them. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus. Nathanael and Canaan of Galilee. And the sons of Zebedee. And two other of his disciples. 7 of the now 11 went fishing. I don't think the other 4 were there. I don't think the other 4 were fishermen. But these were. And they went fishing because Peter made a decision to go fishing. As a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you do make decisions, it will impact more than just you. If you have a Christian home, a Christian marriage, the decisions you make will impact your family. Decisions you make about going to church will impact your family. Decisions you make about providing for your family will impact your family. I believe Peter knew, since Jesus wasn't there, that he would have him to use what he had used in his life several times before, fishing, to meet a need. And he went fishing, and he took all the rest of them with him. Verse 4, Jesus allowed them to fail. They fished all night long. But when the morning was now come, see, Jesus didn't go walking on the water to them this time. He allowed them to fish all night without catching anything because he was, again, preparing them for what was to come. Jesus stood on the shore. Disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus allowed them not to catch one fish because they had to, even though they were willing to realize, I'm not putting my trust in what I'm able to do. Be willing to do it, not trusting in doing it. Jesus gave them counsel that produced. I love that. Look at verse 6. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Now, I believe they were mindful of Jesus. They were mindful of Jesus. They never lost sight of their discipleship. They never lost sight of who he was, even though he was not there with them. They went because they were willing to do whatever that they could do with what Jesus had worked in their lives before. So they were mindful of Jesus when they hear a voice telling them, put your nets down. Well, how we need to be mindful of the voice of Jesus. Because when you hear his voice and you obey his counsel, it will always provide what you need. Whether you hear his voice when you read the Bible, whether you hear his voice through the preaching of the word, whether you hear his voice, something, you know, you're mindful of him and you hear a voice that says, do this, and you believe and know it's God's voice. Whether it's coming through a counselor, whether it's coming through a Sunday school teacher, you believe it's God's voice. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for a multitude of fishes. God's counsel will always work if it's followed correctly. Wow. I believe that's what James would later write. James in chapter 1, this is what he learned from this, and this is what he wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. But in James chapter 1 and verse 22, let me just read it to you. The Bible says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Deceiving your own self, thinking that all you have to do is hear it, and that's enough. No. You need to hear it to know what to do. But if all you do is hear it and you never apply it, it's not going to help you. It's not going to change anything. I've often told people every time I get together to meet with somebody to give them counsel, I'll let them know the counsel itself has never changed, never helped anybody. But counsel applied, godly, biblical counsel applied, changes everything. For if any man be a hearer only of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Verse 25 here, I love this. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, it's the word of God, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, I love that because it's singular deed. If you want the blessings in any area, you have to do what God says in that area to do. You want God's blessings on marriage, you have to do what the Bible says that God's will for your life is in that marriage. Well, I'm a tither. That doesn't have anything to do with your marriage. That has to do with God's blessings on your finances. If you're having problems with finances, you better get back to the counsel of God's word and do what he says to do concerning your finances, because that is what will matter in God's blessings of your deed. If you're having problems with your children, well, I'm attending church. That's not really what it's going to take to raise godly children. You need to use that. But get back into the Bible and find out what the doer of the word. You have to know what the Bible says to do in raising children and then apply it to your life. And you can have blessings in that deed. Amen. Does that make sense? In any and every area, God's counsel works. If you are a doer of the deed, you can be blessed in that deed. Yeah. Well, I was raised a Christian. And you think that's going to take care of every deed in your life? Praise God. Be thankful that you were raised to be a Christian. But that's not going to do it. You have to apply godly counsel in every area of your life that you want the blessings of God. Amen. Jesus gave them counsel. He had them out there so that they would learn not only to take the counsel of God, but apply it. Go back with me. Almost done here, so follow with me here. John chapter 21. Peter's actions. Once he realizes the counsel applied, produced, it brings him back to remembrance what Jesus has done when he has done what Jesus commanded him to do. The very same thing. He's on the ship and he puts the net down just like it was when he was called back in Luke chapter 5. And the fish were there. They shouldn't have been there. They were there. And they brought a drought of fishes, more than what the nets could even hold. And Peter experienced that. And he heard John tell him, "It's the Lord." Now with that, so many people get caught up with, and he was naked. He's on a fishing boat out there fishing, and it's hot. He's been there all night. He's not completely naked. He's probably got some kind of shorts on or whatever. That's not the idea. The idea was he responded as quickly as he could by thinking, I got to go to Jesus. And there was his fisher coat there. He just put it on and he jumped in the water to go to Jesus because he realized Jesus had come to meet with him. He didn't care. He could care less about the fish at that moment. He experienced that, but he said, what I want more than experiencing catching fish, I've left that life. I don't need that life. I was only doing that because we had to eat. But if Jesus is on the shore, I'm going to shore. And he responded so quickly. He jumped in to go to Jesus on the shore. When he came, look at verse 9. Jesus had fish and bread prepared for them. Why did he go fishing? Because they were needing food. They didn't get any until they followed the counsel of God. But when they came to shore, Jesus, he didn't use the fish they caught. He had fish and bread, already had the meal for them. Because he'll supply your need. He doesn't need for you to go fishing. Fishing, going fishing is for you to be willing to do whatever it is God wants you to do. But your trust is in him because he can provide for you. It wasn't they provided for themselves. No. This was a lesson for them to learn. Even though they eventually followed the counsel, got the fish. But at shore, he already had the fish that he provided. In verse 12, and Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Hallelujah. Come and dine. They learned to feast at Jesus' table. I got to read this to you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, Jesus teaching, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not so much better than they? All of this was to teach them that you might need to do what you can do, but don't put your trust in what you can do. Put your trust in Jesus, and then you do that, come and dine at Jesus' table. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what it was all about. That's what it was all about. Come and dine. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine. With his manna he doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the master called unto them, come and dine. There they found their heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus he satisfies the hungry every time. Soon the Lamb will take his bride to be ever at his side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. Oh, 'twill be a glorious sight, all the saints in spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Come and dine. No matter what your need are, no matter what you're going through, put your faith in him. Be willing to do everything you can do. Put your faith and trust in him. Come and dine. Every head bowed. Every eye closed tonight. What a tremendous lesson Jesus would teach Peter and his disciples. Come and dine. Where are you at tonight? Trust, be willing to do whatever it is. Make sure that you understand it correctly and you're doing it the way God wants you to do it. When you do, and you are, you can just feast at Jesus' table all the time. Father, we bow before you tonight. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the truth that you presented to us in this event and the life of the Apostle Peter. And God, what we've studied here tonight, I trust that it would have been received and understood. I pray, God, that you'd help whoever has heard this message and needs to make a decision tonight, that they would make it before it's eternally too late. Help them to make it even now. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.